The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet them to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in. It is our Wednesday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. A nail-biter for the Big Blue Nation last night as the Wildcats had to come from 15 down early in the second half to get a win over Arkansas, 70-66. We'll talk about the game today and a few other things with our lineup of guests. Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader, Chris Fisher from Cat's Paws, and Alan Cutler. Covered the Cats for 30 years, probably, from WLEX-TV here in Lexington. Retired now. So we'll get some of Alan's thoughts as Kentucky gets set to go down to Tennessee. And I know he's covered more than a few games down in Knoxville. Our guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Tyler Hero scored 29, and Kentucky comes back to beat Arkansas 70-66. Hero was crucial in the first half. I know Cal talked about his defensive lapses that he had, but they certainly needed his points last night to survive a first half in which Kentucky turned it over 12 times. Settled down in the second half, and then Hero hit some more big shots. So a personal best for him of 29 and was clutch at the free throw line. There was a moment where he did a little trash talking there late, which I think fans always love, especially when the player then goes up and hits the shot. Nick Richards was very key in this victory. With 15 rebounds, he also blocked three shots, had 7 points. He came out and did the post-game interview with Mike Pratt on our UK Radio Network broadcast and had a big smile on his face. That was good to see. Nick had not been out to do the interview in a while. This was a really big moment for him, I think, because remember last year when things weren't going well for him, and he just kind of disappeared really after that game in late January up at West Virginia where he played so well and was certainly having issues with confidence. And I'm sure he still fights those battles. But he comes up big here late in the season, so he's had some ups and downs again, but last year he didn't really bounce back, and this year he is fighting through that. So good to see, happy for him. Impressed with what Arkansas did last night, not only just making the 10 threes, which that hadn't happened against Kentucky in quite a while, to make 10 happened a lot back early in the season. Kentucky's defense, in fact, in the first half looked a lot like its early season defense. Arkansas lost Gafford to foul trouble early and had to play most of the first half without their star big man. And what it ended up doing is that they just really spread the court out, and instead of running the offense through him in the low post, they were playing a lot of times with five guys out, sometimes even be out beyond the three-point line, and spreading Kentucky out and then driving. And it was difficult for Kentucky to handle. They handled it much better in the second half. I thought Arkansas's defensive game plan was really good. They did a nice job on P.J. Washington. They were clearly determined not to let him do what he had been doing lately. And so he only got 2 shots in the first half, finished with 9 points. And I thought Arkansas did a really nice job with their plan. So I think you'll probably see more teams try to play some zone against Kentucky. Cal mentioned that in the post game last night. Since it worked well for Arkansas, it was in a matchup zone that Mike talked about that kind of looked at like man-to-man at times, but they were just passing guys off and really doing a good job of denying P.J. the ball in the spots that he likes to get it. And some of the times he had to come out to try to get it, and that's when they got some of their steals in the first half when Kentucky was trying to force the ball to him and Arkansas was able to knock it away and then get going in transition. But the crowd was a big help for Kentucky last night, too, picking the team up. 8 Wildcats in the NFL Combine that's underway in Indianapolis. It'll be on the NFL Network starting tomorrow. Benny Snell, this is a release from UK. Benny Snell goes tomorrow So you'll see him featured, I think, around 1 o'clock. C.J. Conrad will be in the Saturday morning session. On Sunday is when Josh Allen and Jordan Jones will do their workouts. And on Monday, four Wildcats, Derek Beatty, Mike Edwards, Darius West, and Lonnie Johnson. Baseball, Kentucky opened Kentucky Proud Park with a win over EKU 7-3. You always think about little trivia notes, and forever the first home run in Kentucky Proud Park will belong to T.J. Collette that staked Kentucky to an early lead. And how about Jared Shelby? Stole second, third, and a home in the third inning, and then two more stolen bases later. Quite a day for him, and the Shelby family has certainly been good to Kentucky baseball. By the way, Duke, of course, lost last night 77-72 at Virginia Tech. Now, they won't get penalized, I think, when it comes to Selection Sunday as much for this loss as you might think originally, because they're playing without one of their best players. Same should go for Kentucky if they take an L along the way as they play without Reed Travis. But still, it kind of, I think everybody just is automatic Duke will be a one seed. Now, what if they lose to Carolina a second time and then fail to win the ACC tournament? Could they sink as low as a two? And so just a lot to still play out as far as Selection Sunday goes. Links to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page at townleachky.com. Heading to a break, 12 after the top of the hour. And when we come back, Ben Roberts will join us from the Lexington Herald Leader on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
We go to the Kentucky Branded Hotline to bring on Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader and KentuckySports.com. And we'll start with a basketball game last night, Ben. It was. Do you think this was what people would put under the heading of a trap game because of Tennessee coming up on Saturday? Or was it just Arkansas had a good game plan or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those SEC games, which, you know, we tend to see all the time, especially with these young Kentucky teams, where, you know, they could come out one day like they did against Auburn on Saturday, and then 3 days later they come out and look like a completely different team, at least for a half or so. So I don't think it was anything too concerning. If anything, I still think it's good for young teams to play in games like that, especially if they can end up, you know, finding a way to win and making some plays down the stretch and getting through a little adversity. So as Cal always says, you look ahead to March and everything you do is a preview of that. And it certainly didn't hurt their standing as far as seeding or anything. So I think it was maybe a little bit of helping their mentality going forward, I guess, a little bit.
It always takes the Kentucky teams a little while to kind of find their identity because there's so much turnover from year to year. And Cal will talk about, you know, finding out how they play best. And it seemed as though in recent weeks what they had found was that they could run things through PJ. And I was noticing in preparing for this game last night that up until it was like the 22nd of January when they beat Mississippi State, and there's a 10-game stretch there where PJ has produced all the 20-point games and had this great run. And in that 10-game stretch, he had averaged a little over 15 shot attempts per game. Prior to that, it was 8, so almost twice as many shots per game he was taking during this stretch. Well, Arkansas in the first half limited him to 2 shots and ended up with 7 for the game. Now, he did get to the line 10 times, but I think other teams will probably look at that and adopt a similar approach, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Mike Anderson's a good coach. And he just straight up said that after the game last night. He said they, you know, their number one priority was stopping PJ Washington. And without really saying it, basically saying not letting him do what he'd been doing to other teams for the past 3 or 4 weeks or so. And that's another thing I think that, you know, to make a deep run in March, you can't be reliant on PJ Washington to do that for you 5 or 6 games. You have to have other guys step up earlier in the season. Obviously, Keldon stepped up in some big games. Obviously, last night, Tyler Hero stepped up in some big games. And that's what I like about this team as far as making that deep March run is, you know, all three of those guys. I don't think any of us would be surprised if any three of those guys went off for 25 or 30 points in an NCAA tournament game. And then on top of that, you know, assuming you get Reed Travis back healthy, you have a guy like him who can do so much in that kind of setting. We saw last night Nick Richards can step up. I thought that was a major step forward for him. You know, so you have a lot of supporting players. Obviously, Ashton Hagans can help you in so many ways. So I think finding that right now and finding ways to beat teams in different ways, that's going to be very, very beneficial in March. And I think this team certainly has the weapons to do it, and I think they have the mentality to do it. And I think they're kind of showing that on a game-to-game basis now.
Yeah, you make a good point. Tyler Hero had 29 last night. PJ's had a 29-point game. Keldon had a 27-point game. So there's three nearly 30-point games from three different guys.
Yeah, and all three of those guys not only can get hot at different times, but, I mean, all three of those guys, I think you would say, have supreme confidence. Like, they're not – if they miss a shot or two, they're still going to look for ways to score, still going to look for ways to impact the game, offensively and defensively. And that's exactly what you want when you're in March and you're looking to win some of those games against tough teams.
Talking with Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader and KentuckySports.com, and he, among other things, does the Next Cats page there. It covers recruiting. I saw a note on the Next Cats page, Evan Daniels, guy that you've talked to recently, and we have as well here on the show, that he now thinks Isaiah Todd is going to stay in the 2020 class. I think when Kentucky offered, everybody just assumed Todd would reclassify.
Yeah, I think when you see, especially when you see Cal make a trip like that so late in the season, for a kid who's a junior and take the time to go out there, offer in person, meet with the family, you know, most cases for a junior, you can just wait till he gets on campus like they did with BJ Boston this past weekend, or you can even just wait till the spring. I think everybody understands that. So when you see him make a move like that, and especially all of the buzz surrounding Todd anyway, you kind of further assume, I guess, that he's going to make that jump. And Evans is dialed in as anybody, especially with that recruitment. He's been on that from the beginning. I still think there's a lot of time for that to play out. I know it is important for Isaiah to play in the Nike League this spring and summer, and he was going to do that anyway and will do that anyway, no matter whether he decides to reclassify or not. So, you know, with him, you're talking at the very earliest, he doesn't need to make that decision until June, and he could still make it. I mean, we saw Marvin Bagley make that decision, or at least announce that decision in late August a couple of summers ago, and show up on Duke's campus like 2 days later to plan that next season. So he's got time, and I think, you know, if he is set on Kentucky, which it sounds like Kentucky's in a great spot there, it might also be a case of, okay, let's wait and see how this roster shakes out, and can they really use me and utilize me next season? Do they really need me next season? Can I be a big part of the team? Okay, well, then maybe I make the jump. If not, if Nick comes back and EJ comes back and they get Keon Brooks or Matthew Hurt, and maybe there's not as much of a need, maybe he goes ahead and stays till 2020.
I saw you sending out a couple of tweets that were baseball-related yesterday. I assume you were at the game?
Yeah, went out there for the first, I guess, grand opening, the first home opener in the new park. And, man, I mean, I went to a lot of games at Cliff Hagin Stadium and really liked the atmosphere there. I know the stadium did match up to a lot of what you see around the SEC and around the country, but this new park, it's great. It's unbelievable atmosphere, just the setting. And I think once it's a little cool last night, it was a pretty good crowd. And then by the end, especially when that shade hit all the seats, some people started going home early because it was pretty nippy down there. But, I think once, you know, you get into that warmer weather in April and May, and then especially if they can make a tournament run like they did a couple years ago and host some NCAA tournament games, I think you're really going to see some great, great crowds there, and just a great, great spot to watch a game. And I think they're really going to enjoy that place.
Ben, thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
That is Ben Roberts coming to us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. 24 past the top of the hour. We'll take a break. Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws is next on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. You can find them in Palomar and in Hamburg for a great start to your day, for breakfast or brunch or lunch, too. Kentucky owned and operated, and you can it was suggest the omelets, but the pancakes are fantastic too. They've got a you know, breakfast with a bar. They've got award winning mimosas among other things there at Wild Eggs. To the Kentucky Branded Hotline, Chris Fisher joins us now to talk first about Kentucky playing and winning against Arkansas last night. What were your takeaways?
Pretty epic comeback, especially when you consider they outscored Arkansas, I think, by 19 points over the final 18 minutes. And that was even with a couple, you know, what could have been back-breaking three-pointers by the Hogs during that run. But especially, you know, with the Tennessee game on Saturday that will go a long way in determining the SEC regular season, to potentially drop two straight games at this, you know, point in the season, especially after you've, you know, played your way onto the one line, I think could have been, you know, pretty devastating for this team. But really great comeback. Obviously, Tyler Hero was fantastic, and you know, many more nights like that, and he won't have much of a decision to make after the season. He played absolutely terrific, and I think his game is tailor-made for, you know, today's modern NBA.
Kentucky came back really pretty quickly from 15 down. They were right back in it before the middle point of the second half.
And that was something that John Calipari spoke to a little bit last night, and it goes to show you the fragility of March. You know, if you play a game like that in the NCAA tournament against a good team, and you come out flat, you dig yourself a hole. You might dig one that you can't pull yourself out of. And so, good lesson for a young Kentucky team last night.
Yeah, looking ahead to March. There's just still, even with 2 weeks left in the regular season, three games for Kentucky, it's a week and a half, I guess, you have still so much that could happen, because I think we all kind of fall in that trap. Well, if they, you know, they win at Tennessee, they're going to be a one seed for sure. Or if they lose at Tennessee, they can't be, or this could happen. And you just play out all these scenarios. But you think just about usually the team that you're focusing on or closest to, and so many other things can happen, like a Duke loss last night at Virginia Tech, and you know, other teams can have these kind of moments like Kentucky nearly had last night.
Yeah, and I think right now there's probably five teams maybe jockeying for those four number one seeds. I'm just not sure I can see a Michigan or a Michigan State playing themselves onto the one line. Maybe Carolina, depending on, they have another matchup with Duke, maybe they could do it. But it'll be interesting to see whether Kentucky is, you know, a one in the Midwest, or you know, a two in the South. I think either way, if you're a Kentucky fan, you got to be thrilled with either of those scenarios, because nothing is guaranteed. I mean, there were a ton of Kentucky fans in Atlanta last season, and the bracket opened up pretty well for Kentucky, and they lost to Kansas State in the Sweet 16. So, you know, it could go either way, and either way, you just got to play those games, and you won't know until that bracket comes out on Selection Sunday.
Good point. We'll talk more about it when we come back with Chris Fisher of the Cat's Paws at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
We're talking with Chris Fisher from catspaws.com on the Kentucky Branded Hotline on this Wednesday edition of the Leach Report. From a listener, Tommy, he has a point about the seeding that we were just talking about, Chris. He says, suppose Kentucky gets a one seed for Kansas City, and they're four out there would be Kansas or Kansas State. He says he imagines Kentucky fans would be on fire if that occurs. And they might be, but it could very well occur. On the CBS show a few weeks ago, the chairman of the selection committee mentioned that they could, in fact, they originally did have Kansas in Kansas City, and then they maybe moved them somewhere else to balance a bracket. And the way they're supposed to do it by their principles, Kentucky could also, if it were a two seed, end up in Louisville if under a certain set of circumstances. So those kind of things are set up to happen these days when they pay so much attention to proximity for teams, right?
Yeah, there are so many variables that go into it and that can find themselves playing out. I saw one bracket projection that had Louisville as in the 8-9 game next to Kentucky. I'm not sure how big of a reward that would be for Kentucky getting a one seed, having to potentially play your rival in the second round. But there's just so many variables, and at the end of the day, you have to play the games that are in front of you. And I know John Calipari always uses that as a motivator for his team on Selection Sunday going into the tournament, that, you know, they're going to get the hardest possible path. And that's been the case before. They've had some really difficult ones that they've managed to navigate. So just a lot that can happen.
A couple of recruiting questions. One from a listener, from Bow to Coach Cal on Twitter, wants me to ask you about what's happening with Matthew Hurt in his recruitment. And he says he wants to know if Duke is getting any help from guys like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James in this particular recruitment.
I'm not sure about in this particular recruitment, but I do think coaching, you know, Team USA and LeBron and Kobe is, you know, was really the thing that revitalized Mike Krzyzewski's brand as a recruiter. I think that really went a long way in kind of, you know, reinventing him, because prior to that, Duke wasn't really known for producing one and done guys. But I think they're in a good spot with Matthew Hurt. I know Evan Daniels entered a crystal ball pick for Duke here recently, but I think Kentucky is in the mix as well. I think he's targeting a late spring decision date, and I have to think that the play of PJ Washington and what he's been able to do, particularly on the perimeter and, you know, moving around and making plays and putting the ball on the floor and shooting it as well as he has to be attractive for a guy like Jaden McDaniels, a guy like Matthew Hurt, even a guy like Keon Brooks, who Kentucky has made a late move with as well.
What do you see on Saturday down in Knoxville?
I think after the win over Arkansas, I think Kentucky is playing with a little bit of house money, especially given the fact that they're going to be without Reed Travis. I would think the selection committee would take that into account. But Kentucky has played really, really well on the road this season. I think you can make the argument they played better on the road than they have at home, especially during this 15-game stretch where they've played so well. But it's going to be tough, especially without Reed Travis there to negate Grant Williams inside. But it'll be a good test, and Kentucky will have to play a really good game to get out of Knoxville with a win.
Yeah, Tennessee, I don't think we certainly saw their best. Kentucky gets some credit for that in the game here. So they will, you know, make adjustments, and probably – the biggest one is how well P.J. Washington played against Tennessee last time, and really last year down in Knoxville until he cramped up, that they're going to try to come up, one would think, with maybe some plan similar to what Arkansas did to try to go at him.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. And P.J. Washington has given Tennessee fits basically every time he's faced them. But Thompson Bowling Arena has been a really, really difficult place for Kentucky to play here in recent years. I would think Kentucky would double Grant Williams to try to get the ball out of his hands and make someone else beat him, but they're going to have to get a really big day from the combination of Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery, I would think.
Chris, thank you much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
21 away from the top of the hour. And coming up next, Alan Collar joins the program. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
18 away from the top of the hour. It's back to the Kentucky Branded Hotline. And Alan Collar joins us. If you're in Central Kentucky, you remember him on many years on WLAX-TV. And he's retired now. Enjoying retirement?
Love it. Recommended highly.
It's like that line from Ferris Bueller's Day Off: if you have the means, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. I mean, I still love sports, but not being on call from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, not dealing with social media the way I had to. I do play around on Twitter, but you know, not have to deal with all the nonsense. The job changed. I mean, I had a great time for a long time, but the last 3 years of job just changed, and I don't like it. But that's okay. Doesn't matter. TV goes on with or without me. You know how that goes.
You came to Lexington, what, about 81, Alan?
81.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought I remember.
That's what, 3 years before you were born?
Not quite. a little bit off, but I wanted to get you on because of, for a couple of things. We'll talk a little bit about the combine here in a minute because you've covered the NFL a lot. But you covered a lot right after you. I'm just looking at the rundown of the results in Knoxville for Kentucky, and you know what it was like through the 80s when you were covering the Cats on those trips to Knoxville every year and how difficult wins were to come by. It was the same way in the 70s, too.
Hey, did you ever go, and this is not out of disrespect, but I don't remember the years. Did you ever cover a game at Stokely, the old gym?
I was not, covering, traveling with the team and covering games in those days. So, I never covered a Kentucky-Tennessee game at Stokely. I covered one game at Stokely. I got lucky enough to get a credential for the Dream Game. So that's the only game I saw in Stokely.
Well, if you had to go only one, that's pretty cool.
That was cool,
yes.
That was
such a strange barn. The late, great Melvin Turpin, if I remember right, had over 40 one night. And
yes.
The guard for 42. Tennessee, was it Ellis? The kid after the game wore flip-flops.
Dale Ellis.
And it's like they were playing one-on-one against each other. And each coach decided they're giving it to one person, and it was a great game. That's always such a different place to go to. The atmosphere is different, and I would expect there won't be an empty seat when Kentucky shows up.
No, in fact, was told last night that somebody from a friend in Knoxville heard that it's the toughest ticket they'd ever seen for the game at Thompson Bowling between the Cats and the Vols.
Wow. It'll be interesting to see if they start yelling at the Kentucky players when they just walk on the court to shoot around. I'm going to guess they will.
That Turpin game you referenced, it came up when Jody Meeks had his big night down there somewhere in the second half when he was getting into the upper 30s. I went to the media guide to find the last time a Kentucky player had, who had the most points against Tennessee in Tennessee, and it was Terp. With that 42-point game. I'm just looking at the box score here. Dale Ellis had 22 for Tennessee. But, it was – Tennessee obviously being good like they are now was a part of the deal. And but Kentucky would roll in there with a lot of really good teams. A 78 title team won, but not many. I'm just looking here. The 84 team that made it to the Final Four. They lost at Tennessee. So some really good Kentucky teams took it on the chin down there. Why is it – other than Tennessee being good, is there anything else that makes it especially difficult?
No, I think it's part of the rivalry, and I think the dislike between Tennessee and Kentucky is a little worse than sometimes we anticipate because Kentucky has won so many games. I just think it's the proximity. You know, speaking of Meeks, by the way, I'm really happy for him. He's actually playing again, not much, but I mean, he had 5 points in 7 minutes last night for Toronto. And I think he's going to get a better chance to play, after sitting out, after getting dropped and stuff like that. He might get 12, 15 minutes a game for Toronto. I'm hoping he does. Tom, I'm baffled. I thought he was going to be a star in the NBA, and I'm wrong, obviously.
He's been just a solid role player. Never has broken through for stardom. Boy, if he would have stayed one more year here, I think everybody thinks Kentucky would have had another title in 2010.
Oh, they would have had a beautiful shot, just a beautiful shot, just like I think if Teague would have stayed and some guy named Nerlens would have been healthy, a couple things like that, or Anderson didn't go down with a knee or Bowie didn't go down with 2 years or Casey didn't get hurt. If you look back, maybe your memory is better than mine. I don't know of another program that has missed potential as many potential national championships as Kentucky due to injuries.
No, I've had that same thought. I think you're right. I mean, every program can look at the woulda, coulda, shouldas of, tough beats and those things. But to have – and Derek Anderson's maybe the best example. But even a couple of Cal's more recent teams, they lost Willie Cauley-Stein in 2014 on that run, and they lost Poythress, and the Poythress was early in the year, but still – you know, it would have been awfully nice to have him as an option to guard Sam Dekker in that 2015 game.
And that would have been the matchup. You're absolutely right. You know, it's interesting. Duke doesn't seem to have the same number of injuries. They've got one now. You know, doesn't this bother you? I'm not this hater of Duke, but I tell you what ticks me off. They've lost two or three. It doesn't matter that their star isn't there. They shouldn't be on everybody's list to still be number one. It's not everybody else's fault that the kid's not playing, and he's going to come back, and I wish him the best of luck. I really do. But why is Duke still in that line of number one on all these basketball experts? They've lost two or three. It's wrong, Tom. It's right. That stuff drives me crazy, the biasness towards Duke. I mean, if they deserve to be there, whether you like it or not, fine. They don't deserve to be there after losing two or three.
One of our listeners, John, says that Duke's losses don't count, but you could be sure any Kentucky loss will. So,
Well, you know, the little sarcasm there, but it seems to be something to it. Well, let's put it this way. Had Kentucky not won last night, and it's 45-30, I was a little concerned. I don't know about you, but the person who wrote that in is correct. Had Kentucky lost last night, there's no way they'd be in anybody's top four.
Yeah, no, it was when it got to 45-30, there's still a lot of time to play, but Kentucky was just struggling to find anybody to score but Hero. But even though the shooting numbers weren't well, I thought Keldon was big in the second half, just getting into their zone some and doing some of the things that Kentucky wasn't doing in the first half to attack Arkansas. But, boy, I thought Arkansas had a really good game plan.
Yeah, they did, and they hit shots. You know, when P.J. missed the dunk, that I bet he makes 98% of the time, that made me go, maybe it's not Kentucky's night. But give the Kentucky kids credit. On the night that they didn't have it, they came back and won.
Let's jump to football a little bit because you covered the NFL through the Bengals for many years, and we've got the most Kentucky guys ever at the Combine. Benny's the first one up tomorrow. Kentucky fans probably haven't paid a whole lot of attention to the Combine unless they're really big into the NFL because there haven't been local guys to root for too often. Bud Dupree was prominent a couple of years ago. But what will it be like for these Kentucky guys? What are the key elements for them to come out of this looking better as draft prospects?
You know, I'm sure they've gotten advice. And one of the things I don't like about the Combine is that too much emphasis is put on it by pro teams instead of spending more time, you know, looking at the overall body of work. That's just kind of bothers me a little bit. And I'm sure the guys have been counseled about what to do. But it's such a – I haven't been there, but I've talked to many people who have. It's such a freaky atmosphere. I mean, you know, they're measuring you, you know, basically in your underwear and then the way you're running and doing stuff and that kind of thing. And there are some guys that are just better athletes that are not really good football players. You know, speaking of Benny, I have a fear for Benny. My fear is his time in the 40 won't be what maybe a lot of Kentucky fans want, and I hope that doesn't knock him down a little bit because I can't imagine he's going on a 4.5 40. I mean, I would be the most shocked person covering sports in the last 8,000 years. But he's a football player, and he's going to move the chains. My fear is, like, a guy like Benny, if he doesn't run fast enough, he's going to get knocked down a couple rounds and then have a wonderful NFL career. So what I don't like about it is the meat market effect about the height and the weight and those kinds of things. Look at the tape of Benny. That's all you got to do. And to me, that should be enough. So, you know, when you say Benny, that one sticks out. I really believe Kentucky's got a shot of putting, you know, they might not have very many high draft choices outside of Allen, but I think a lot of these guys are going to stick. I think you're going to see some of these guys maybe not being starters, but there'll be plenty of starters, and some of these guys will make it on special teams. I think these kids are going to represent Kentucky very well in the NFL, and I also think that's going to help Stoops with recruiting, you know, as a layered effect down the road.
Oh, yeah, I think you're spot on with all of that. And Benny's the perfect example of there's, you know, things like the combine. I always think, and you can speak more to this because you were closer to it, that there's just a safety aspect of focusing on things that everybody can look at, the, you know, numbers 40 times and all of that, as opposed to, you know, trusting your instincts and evaluating talent. Because while Benny's measurables might not be as good as some others, he just has – I'll be surprised if he didn't stick for a long time and have, be a very solid NFL player.
You know, the perfect team for him would be Baltimore. Seriously.
True.
You know, and I got to tell you, I have believed this so much through the years, and it amplified when I did the Bengals. sometimes teams pick the wrong players, or they pick players that really don't fit them as much as you would think. You know, getting to the right team is important. I'll give you another Kentucky kid who I think is going to play in the NFL. I think, Tom, forever, Mike Edwards. I'm not sure about his time in the 40, though. And they're more particular about, as you know, defensive backs, DBs with their times. But I can also tell you, there's more guys that are DBs in the NFL that don't run as fast as you think. They get drafted lower, but because they're football players and they pay attention and they know what they're supposed to do and they'll hit you, they play for a long time. And I look at a kid like Mike Edwards. He is a man. He is a football player. But suppose he runs a 4.65 or a 4.7. You know, and you know how it goes, and all of a sudden he's a really late round draft pick. In other words, maybe the kid runs a 4.5. You're at practice, Tom. I wasn't. You know, we weren't allowed to go in practice. But the two guys, you know, on the list of kids going, the two guys that I think can really play are Snell and Edwards. When I say really play, and I'm concerned about their times in the 40, knocking them down versus what I believe is their value as football players and people. You know, they're great teammates. They buy in. They do everything they're supposed to do, and I'm a little concerned they're going to lose some money in this combine, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope their times are fast.
Fans have seen through Twitter that you're working on a book with our friend John Wong. How's that coming?
Well, I've sort of paused. First of all, no one's going to read it because it's like about 350 pages. And I'm probably going to continue, and there's an issue I don't want to get into on radio. Since I won't lie to you, but it's a little complicated. There's a few chapters where I'm being very honest, and I'm not sure if I can print it. And I'll just leave it at that, if that's okay.
Understand. Alan, appreciate the time. We'll catch up another time.
John, be good.
You too. Alan Cutler. And we are coming to our final segment, so let's take a break, and we'll get to that. We'll come right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Tonight, a slice of Wildcat history. This day, 1956, Kentucky posted its largest win margin in the history of its basketball program, 143-66 over Georgia. Game played at the old Jefferson County Armory in Louisville. Jerry Bird with 22. Met a couple of guys and had a nice chat from Corbin, Jerry Bird country, at the game last night. Shuffle Bean Coffee is a Kentucky-owned and operated company that is all about quality. They like to say they monitor the process from seed to cup. And there's one more home game. And there's also a James Taylor concert tonight, so at Rupp Arena. So if you're there for one of those two events or the Sweet 16 or anything else, and you need a cup of coffee, you go up to the concession stand and get that coffee, it's Shuffle Bean. Same goes at the KFC Yum Center. They're the official coffee of those venues, and they can be the official coffee of your home. Go to shufflebean.us to find locations near you. Coming up tomorrow, Mike Pratt and Justin Rowland, our regular Thursday guests, will join us as we get more into this matchup between Kentucky and Tennessee on Saturday. Vols play Ole Miss tonight. So right now, LSU and Kentucky are a half game ahead in the standings. See you tomorrow on the Leach Report, served up by Wildcat.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show.